What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
All right, here we go. Start or sit for Fantasy Week 15. It is your semifinals week. Adam Azer and Heath Cummings and Jamie Eisenberg. Talking fantasy football, are you guys feeling confident? Heath, are you feeling confident this week?
Yeah, I'm very confident.
Yeah, that's a lot of conviction. Jamie, how about you?
Very confident. I was waiting. I wasn't paying close attention because I thought I was out in one league that, for whatever reason, we play. It's a 12-team league, but only four teams make the playoffs. And so I lost last week, and I figured, okay, I'm done because how the points and stuff were all broken down. I was in the top four of points, and two points leaders and two best records get into the playoffs. Well, I didn't take into account that if you're the points leader and the best record, then it goes down to the next high score.
There you go.
So even though I lost, I still was qualified as the second highest point scorer. So snuck into another playoffs, and we'll see how that goes. But very confident. You got to be confident.
Good. I like it. And if you're not confident now, we're going to help you set your lineups to make you a little bit more confident. And this episode is sponsored by Express. You want to look confident, feel confident. You got to look good, right? Express is all new and all about you with a fresh assortment of casual, versatile, and super comfortable styles. Find out more about Express later in the show. And it is cold as heck up here. It is snowy and gross, and I have my nice Express sweater on. And if I need to go outside, I've got even warmer clothes from Express that I will break out. So, yeah, we'll tell you more about that later in the show. Do you guys make any of your lineup decisions based on your opponent? Because we do get a lot of questions about, my opponent has Ryan Tannehill. Should I start Corey Davis or this other comparable wide receiver? Do you care about that, Heath?
I don't ever. I always tell people, don't care about that. This week, I have a matchup that has almost made me care about it. And I want you to tell me if I should.
Oh, okay.
It's a super flex league, half PPR, half point for first down. I'm loaded at running back. DeAndre Swift, Kareem Hunt.
Stop.
No, this is not our league.
Is our league.
No. I also have Cam Akers and Jonathan Taylor on that team.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's very similar. Okay.
I have Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams at wide receiver. I can flex my third favorite running back or Adam Thielen. I'm a big favorite. The guy I'm playing has Kirk Cousins.
Oh.
And I thought, man, the only way he's going to beat me is if like somebody goes off and has a massive game. But I'm probably going to sit Adam Thielen and play three of the running backs.
Yeah, my advice is always play the guy you think is going to score the most points. Mm-hmm. So that's how I approach it. But that is pretty interesting. JB, what would you do? Thielen or one of those running backs? I think it was like Swift.
Taylor and Akers are my favorite, so it's Swift or Hunt or Thielen.
Oh, actually, I think I would just go Thielen there.
I would probably go Thielen myself in any PPR related scoring. Swift. I'll tell you that I have Swift right now as a start and start sit. If Ragnow's out after this throat revelation where he fractured his throat, which just sounds terrible.
Yeah.
If he's out, then I'm going to pull Swift from the column. So I think it would be easy to go with Thielen, but I always play the players against my opponent, because I think it's a great strategy. It certainly works out well every time that happens.
Wait, no, okay, wait. I hear sarcasm.
What? No, don't do that. Don't do that.
Okay, so just play your best guys. Don't worry about your opponent, you're
right,
saying?
Play the best player. Okay. Now, I think if you're talking like three receiver leagues and your third receiver stinks and you want to maybe try and do something along those lines, I can get by that, behind that. But like, I wouldn't necessarily go pick up like you mentioned Corey Davis, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a good player. I think it's more along the lines of like, if you wanted to do this, like if you're playing Josh Allen and you're deciding between Cole Beasley and DJ Chark, you know, better week for DJ Chark. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, yeah. I get you. Okay.
Like that type of thing I'm okay with.
All right. I feel like game script is really going to come into play this week. I don't know if this is a lot, but this feels like a lot. There are 8 games in which teams are favored by 6 or more points. And there are 3 games with 12 or more point favorites. The Rams are like 17-point favorites against the Jets, the Ravens against the Jaguars, Steelers at the Bengals. We got a lot of potential blowouts this week, and I want to know if you guys are nervous about that and if there are any particular players. Tannehill and Roethlisberger come to mind. Obviously, Goff. But like Jamie, is game script something that's on your mind right now? Did it make things difficult for you this week?
I mean, you know, the only thing you got to take into account with some of these scenarios when it comes to the scores is what is the defense going to do to impact those scores? Because the offense still has to get you to that deficit, right?
Right.
So, or the difference, not deficit.
Yeah, but, I know. Yeah.
You know, so how are they going to get there? And so like the Titans, you could see 2 touchdowns for Derrick Henry early, and then it's not a lot from Ryan Tannehill. Or you could see, you know, 2 touchdowns from a defensive touchdown and a touchdown from Cam Akers, and Jared Goff's not doing very much. Those things could certainly unfold. The Steelers don't necessarily worry me too much because their offense has been so bad that if they're going to get to that point difference, I think it's going to be because of Roethlisberger, especially with James Conner banged up. Today's going to be a big day for the Steelers backfield. So if you can still make add drops, keep an eye on James Conner's practice report. And if Benny Snell's available, you should absolutely pick him up.
Yeah.
The one guy, my projections got a little wonky, and I think he's in the rankings disputes, and I've moved him up a little bit to close the gap. But Chris Carson, his like rush attempt totals have not been very high since he's come back from injury. And part of the problem was last week the Seahawks had such a huge lead that it was Carlos Hyde and DJ Dallas in the second half. Carson only had 4 touches after halftime. And for the most part, would just ignore that and say, well, he just played because it was garbage time. But they're probably going to have a quarter and a half worth of garbage time again this week.
Yeah, I mean, if Alex Smith plays, it's an East Coast trip. It's a 1 o'clock start. They've struggled a little bit in that spot. They kind of were.
That's a good defense, too.
Yeah, it's a good defense.
It is a good defense.
Good run defense, too. We were going to talk about that in the rankings dispute. That game a couple weeks ago, I would have thought, oh, they're gonna blow out Washington. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Heath?
I think they're going to win, but they may not blow them out. The other thing is there are 2 teams, and you mentioned them, in the big spreads. I can't remember, and I pay attention to this a lot because it goes into the projections. There are 2 teams with implied point totals below 14. Mm. And I cannot ever remember a week with 2. Like if you get 1 team below 14, that's shocking. And the Jets and the Bengals were both 13.5 as of last night. And Jacksonville's not much higher.
Right. And remember, last time you brought this up, I don't know if it's the last time it happened, but that was the Kendall Hinton game, and it was the Broncos that had an implied point total of like 10, and we got a pretty lousy game from Michael Thomas, you know, all things considered, because Taysom Hill barely threw. The Steelers, at least, you know, they're going to throw. But, you know, the Titans, on the other hand, I don't know if I should count them. They're like 6-point favorites, but I could see them blowing out the Lions. You know, we'll get into that game.
I would imagine once Stafford's ruled out, that line changes a little more.
Right. That was basically my big concern. And Tannehill hasn't been great when they've had like massive wins, but they've only had either wins by 7 or fewer or 19 or more. So they've never had like a 13-point win. So it's hard to really make a lot of judgments.
It's also they're back at home where he typically plays a little bit better too.
Yep. All right. So let's find out who we love this week. Jamie, who's the start of the week?
J.K. Dobbins. I mean, you've seen this Jacksonville run defense absolutely fall apart the last 3 games. They've been bad all season. Dobbins has scored in 3 straight games. You don't have to catch passes to be successful against this Jacksonville run defense, as most of the running backs have shown you, certainly Derrick Henry last week. So he's not going for 215 and 2. But I do think 70 and a touchdown is certainly realistic because he's done that in 2 of the 3 games. and he has five games on the season with at least 12 carries. He's scored 12 or more PPR points, essentially 12 or more points, because he's not doing very much in terms of his receptions, but 12 or more PPR points in four of those games. I'd be very surprised at this point if he doesn't get 12 plus carries against Jacksonville. And then if you want to just have some fun, Gus Edwards also is somebody you can start if you're stuck, because hashtag Jaguars.
Right. And, you know, it's rare we get a rankings dispute with the start of the week. But Jamie's got Dobbins around 15th in the rankings, and Heath has him closer to 24 or so, depending on the format. So, Heath, you are not quite as enthused.
It's like almost exactly what I said about Chris Carson, except he also doesn't catch passes. He just hasn't had – you're not going to have a running back that lives in the 12 to 14 carry range that projects as a top 15 running back. And that's not to say that against Jacksonville, I don't think that he could be. They have been such a weird defense in terms of their run defense. Most of the time, they're bad, and then occasionally they're awesome.
Right.
the fact that you're going to see, like, I don't think J.K. Dobbins is going to get more than a third of the Ravens' rush attempts, because no running back really has over the past 2 years. So that puts him around 13 carries. I think 70 yards and a touchdown is very much in play, though.
Yeah, okay. Who do you love, Heath?
I was so busy answering about J.K. Dobbins that I... Cam Akers. He came in as a top four running back in my projections this week. So, like, 50 carries. I think because that game was on a Thursday, and so we had a little extra time to kind of not think about it. 50 carries over the past 2 weeks, just completely shoving Daryl Henderson and Malcolm Brown out of the way on a team that has been very run heavy, almost regardless of game script. They have a couple of games where they threw 60 or 50 passes. For the most part, a very run heavy offense. And now they're playing against a team that has an implied total of 13 and a half. He might have 30 carries in this game.
Jamie, who do you like better, Dobbins or Akers?
Oh, Akers. I mean, Dobbins is ranked, I think, appropriately for how you feel he's going to play. If he doesn't expect him to have a monster game, I could certainly understand him being in the low 20s. I think he could have, 100 and a touchdown if he gets his usual, 14, 15 carries against this defense, because they're so bad. So it's just looking at it's also kind of contingent with Dobbins, because, last week was the first time when everybody was healthy and they didn't play Mark Ingram. I could certainly see them going back to Mark Ingram this week. But, Dobbins is for the last three healthy games has typically been around 60% of the snaps. And like you said, that doesn't mean he's getting all the carries, but he's still doing enough that you can, I think, buy into it in this matchup. But Akers has certainly a higher ceiling. I mean, you've seen it now for the last several games. The one concern I do have with Akers is, and I'm surprised he came out that high in your projections, Heath, is just the Jets' run defense has been good, and that's the one thing to kind of, look at it and say, as bad as things have been for the Jets, if there's one kind of, oh, that's not bad, it's been their run defense. And so, you're starting Akers. There's no way you shouldn't be starting Akers. But does he have that same 190 total yards and the potential to score like we saw last week? The wrong running back to score against him recently was Chris Carson, because he caught a touchdown.
All right, players to avoid this week. Heath, who would you sit?
Could I just say the Jets and the Bengals and the Jaguars, not named James Robinson?
Well, sure. Let me see if I can push back. Okay, I'll push back on that a little bit. Let me just get the stat for you. It's about the Bengals wide receivers. Okay, so a wide receiver has scored 14 or more fantasy points in PPR against the Steelers in 7 of the last 8 games. And that includes guys like Willie Snead, CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, Marquise Brown, and Cam Sims. So
I think it's good that you read that list of names off, because I would not be like, if you told me that I can just start the Bengals team wide receivers and whoever scores the most fantasy points out of the four of them, I get those fantasy points. I would be okay with starting them. But if I have to choose which Bengals wide receiver, it's most likely to be T. Higgins. He's the one I have ranked the highest, but he's not in my top 36. So I would really like to not start any of them.
Okay. I have no beef with that. I was just bringing it up. But I was actually surprised you didn't have Minshew in your top 25. He was really good. I mean, he was on pace for like 4,200 yards, 30 touchdowns, something like that in the first 7 games. And the Ravens defense, a little bit off the last couple weeks, but you're just, no, not interested.
We don't
have it down a few offensive linemen too.
Yeah.
Who, the Jaguars are down Linder. They're getting their left guard back, Norwell.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't played very well, though.
He apparently is having his best season with the Jaguars, according to ESPN. But, oh, I mean, look, their line stinks. But, okay, Jamie, who are we avoiding?
You're not avoiding him, but I'm a little bit concerned and probably should have been for several weeks with Tyler Lockett. It's just, it's such a frustrating experience with him. And he has not been great on the East Coast. He has not been great when he's not facing the Cardinals. He only has four games this season with a touchdown. And so, you know, he clearly has the chance to get you 12 PPR points like he did last week. And that's kind of been the ceiling, though. That's unfortunate. Unless he has these blow up games. And so the blow up games just haven't been there very often. And so good defense, road trip. I think they just want to get their win and go home. They're facing one of the teams that we like to say are the teams you don't want to face, especially they go into the playoffs. This is not a team that you want to go against because of how physical and good their defense has played. So Tyler Lockett is a guy that's outside my top 24 for the first time. And I think he's more of a number three receiver than a starting option.
It's so conflicting the way you look at this matchup. Washington, they give up the third fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. And then try to follow along with this stat. It's pretty impressive. There have been 12 wide receivers in their last six games that have had seven or more targets. Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot. They've had 39, 41, 26, 41, 21, 28. So it looks like seven of the 12 had 42 or fewer yards. That's really, really good. But at the same time, somehow they've given up 85 yards or a touchdown to eight wide receivers in their last five games. So it's strange. It's like they're really good against wide receivers, but they're also really struggling. They haven't been quite as good, I think, since Landon Collins went out. So I don't really even know how to evaluate the matchup. They haven't faced a lot of good passing offenses. I think that's what the big issue is for me evaluating Seattle.
It's not so much for me, though, about the defense at this point.
Yeah.
Because he's had good matchups. He's had bad matchups. He's had some, you know, favorable situations. He's just not producing consistently. I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I have to start him in
several leagues. Are you going to start J.K. Dobbins over Tyler Lockett?
In non-PPR, 100%. In PPR, no. Because he's got more upside if things go right for him. You know, that's just the type of scenario it is.
Okay. All right, then. More. We'll get to the games in a little bit. CBS Sports and Westinghouse are teaming up to give away 10 prize packs for the holidays, including a curved gaming monitor and a portable power station perfect for tailgates. Go to cbssports.com/happyholidays to enter. Okay, we're going to put the link in the episode description as well, but the contest ends on December 25th. So cbssports.com/happyholidays. All right, that's pretty cool. 10 prize packs. Go to that URL. And join us today at 4 o'clock on Twitch. We're answering your starter sit questions, twitch.com/FFtoday. News and notes, three players designated to return from IR. Not sure they'll play this week, but George Kittle, Drew Brees, John Brown. Who do you think has the best chance of returning this week? Kittle, Brees, Brown, Jamie?
Brees.
Okay. Detroit center Frank Ragnow. This Jamie was mentioning this. He played through a fractured throat. My goodness. Hopefully he can be out there at Tennessee.
Didn't miss a snap.
Yeah, apparently he just couldn't really speak very well, but everything else seemed fine. That's just a weird thing.
Why would they play him, though, if Stafford doesn't play? I don't get that.
Well, it might be one of those injuries where it's like you can't do anything it can't get any worse, you know? It might just sound really bad.
But I saw some, like, tweets where other players had something similar and they, you know, couldn't breathe. Like,
right, he was fine.
But if he gets hit in the throat, like something goes wrong, this sounds terrible.
It doesn't sound good. I definitely don't want to fracture my throat. Ronald Jones is on the reserve COVID list, guys, so he still could play. He's got the pinky injuries on the reserve COVID list, but I asked you yesterday. I mean,
is he not I don't know this for sure.
Close contact.
He's a close contact. Yeah. I thought those were 5 days.
It is. So I'm on.
They have to have all the negative tests between now and Sunday.
He went on the list Wednesday, right?
Yes, he can still play
Thursday. Okay, I don't understand. That's only 4 days.
Maybe
Sunday,
he went on before that because was pretty sure he could still play. I mean,
from what I saw, him and Marquise Brown have both been considered close contacts and placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. So every report I saw said they could still play on Sunday if they have whatever X amount of negative tests. I could be wrong, but that's what I thought.
That's how I saw it too. Yeah, but.
Okay.
Maybe they just went on a different day and we didn't
Right. It could be they were deemed close contacts on Tuesday, placed on the list on Wednesday.
Right.
I mean, that could be the procedural move.
Sure, sure. Yeah, so Marquise Brown and Miles Boykin, they're both on the reserve COVID list. Is the availability of Brown and Boykin going to affect your rankings of Lamar Jackson this week?
If he has none of them, then I would probably drop him down to low-end starting quarterback, but I'm probably still starting him.
I mean, it's Jacksonville. He's going to run on them. Yes, I think Heath is right. I won't drop him very – like, he's third for me. I'll probably drop him to five, six.
Okay. Yeah, this is a good one. A good game against Jacksonville, but you don't have to go like, oh, man, is the quarterback going to throw enough? Right, this doesn't quite matter as much. Let's talk about the Dolphins real quick. It doesn't look like Gesicki's going to play, but Parker and Jakeem Grant practiced on a limited basis, so that's good. Matt Breida's off reserve COVID, and Savon Ahmed was limited. Heath, who's trustworthy on the Dolphins this week against the Patriots?
At this point right now, I don't see anyone who is trustworthy. I
Jason
think
Saunders and the Dolphins DST.
Yeah, I think that like if we get Devontae Parker back and no Gesicki or Jakeem Grant, then I think you could really, I'd feel pretty good still about Lynn Bowden, because Parker would take Gilmore and they're going, I think there would still be possibly 8+ targets available for Bowden.
All right. So that's Bowden well for him then. Raheem Mostert missed practice, but they're still optimistic. Well about
I like that one.
Thank you. They're still optimistic about Mostert playing. We don't know yet. So I don't think you can start Jeff Wilson over a Thursday night guy, although we're going to talk about Thursday night games shortly because there are some game time decisions. Damian Harris not on the injury report. Daniel Jones has an – Daniel Jones may not play, and yeah, you're not going to start him, but it would really affect Evan Ingram.
He probably shouldn't play.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't. And Alex Smith is questionable, but there's optimism there. Joe Mixon unlikely to play. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are both game time decisions. Eckler's going to play. But all right, how does this, Jamie, how would it change things if, you know, I guess talk about the injury situation with the Chargers wide receivers. And if Keenan Allen doesn't play, I'm sure you're going to sit Herbert. But if Mike Williams doesn't play and Allen does, what about Herbert at that point?
I wouldn't change my ranking of Herbert if Mike Williams is out. You've seen the other guys. There's been several of them throughout the course of the season step up in place of Mike Williams when he's either been banged up or missed time. If Keenan Allen is out, yes, you can't play Justin Herbert. You know, so that's a huge injury you have to keep an eye on. I'm going to guess he plays, but with them having nothing to play for, you never know how that goes with certain guys. So the Raiders are really banged up defensively as well. They're down four guys. So I would love it for Justin Herbert if he does have Keenan Allen out there. But if he doesn't, clearly, then you can't start him in redraft leagues.
Yeah, and if you're, you know, in a deep league and those wide receivers are out, Tyron Johnson had a good game last week, 6 catches, 55 yards, and a touchdown. And he changed his style. His A-dot was way down. He had typically just been a deep guy, but it was still kind of high. I think it was around 13 or something like that, but it wasn't like 20.
Like Jalen Guyton?
Yeah, yeah. So, but even Johnson's like 53-yard touchdown catch at Tampa Bay, 54-yard catch against the Jets, 50-yard catch against the Raiders, long one at Buffalo. But he was a little bit more versatile, I guess, last week. All right, what else we got? Noah Fant expected to play. Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon were both limited. Antonio Gibson missed practice. We're not expecting him. Kyle Rudolph missed practice. DJ Moore expected to play. Julio Jones questionable. You guys aren't ranking Julio, are you?
No.
Chase Edmonds missed practice with an ankle injury. And I said earlier that ESPN said that Andrew Norwell was having his best season. I want to clarify, his best season with Jacksonville. He hasn't.
Yeah, I don't know if people that cover the team necessarily agree with that. But
well, Mike DiRocco said it. He said this has been Norwell's. That's their beat writer for ESPN.
I guess I'm just listening to Pete too much.
Okay, Norwell's best season in Jacksonville. Getting him back will be a boost to the run game and running back James Robinson. Pittsburgh offensive line's beat up. Tennessee's beat up a little bit. Kansas City's tackles mispractice. Chargers, Brian Bulaga's not playing tonight. They're right tackle, Brian Bulaga? One of their tackles. And
Trey Turner's a guard, right? Yeah,
Turner's a guard. I think Bulaga's playing right tackle. And Brandon Shell, right tackle for the Seahawks. He may not play. And I'll leave it at that.
Go ahead. We got an interesting tweet from Todd Hamilton. who said that 5 years ago was the stain on Dave's shirt.
I vaguely remember that. Dave had a lot of stains on it. He was a very messy eater. Always had stains.
Yeah, but there was one that looked like a country, I think.
Yeah, what was it?
Did he spill coffee on himself?
I don't think he was a coffee guy.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah,
I don't know, but his tweet said, it's a five-year anniversary of one of the top five moments in show history. Can we please relive the stain on Dave's shirt moment?
Oh, gosh. I could text him and find out what the... I'll try. Schrager, see if you can figure out what the stain was on Dave's shirt. But yeah, Dave used to have stains all the time.
Jason Garrett has tested positive for COVID-19.
Wow.
So the Giants will be without their offensive coordinator.
Interesting. That's okay. Heath, how long have you been here at CBS? How many years?
This is season 6.
Oh, you don't remember the stain?
No, I don't think I was on that show.
Or on that
Cuba
shirt.
I found it.
It was Cuba. All right. Well, happy anniversary to Dave and to Cuba. All right, let's do the startometer. What'd you say?
Oh, yeah. I wonder if he still has the shirt.
And what did he spill, Schrager? Find out what did he spill. All right, the startometer today, basically it has morphed into the confidence-o-meter. Who are you confident starting? Let's go to the Jacksonville-Baltimore game. These are the last three games we're going to preview. Heath, who are you confident starting?
Do you know who's calling plays for the Giants?
Daniel Jones?
Freddie Kitchens.
Oh, Freddie Kitchens.
Yes.
I'm so glad we picked up the Browns DST in our league, Heath. Oh, boy. Okay, so, yeah, Jacksonville-Baltimore. Heath, who are you confident
revenge
starting?
Revenge game for Freddie Kitchens.
That's such a good point. Revenge.
I'm sorry. I can't. We're going to have to. James Robinson.
Yeah, either you Baltimore too.
J.K. Dobbins and Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson, is he right now top five?
He is currently top five, and I think he's currently top three or four for all of us. Mm-hmm. And like he would not fall any further than the ninth for me if he was without all of his wide receivers besides Willie Snead and Devin DuVernay. And if Willie Snead and DuVernay were the only wide receivers, then I would probably rank Snead as a number three.
Okay. And right now, who are the quarterbacks ahead of Lamar Jackson? Rodgers, Mahomes, anyone else?
I have Josh Allen. I think I'm the only one, but I have Josh Allen ahead of him as well.
Okay. Jamie, Kansas City and New Orleans. You know, I figure most people are going to start the main guys. Who are you confident starting in this game?
I'd start Taysom Hill if he's the starter. I don't know if he qualifies as the main guys.
He's probably the biggest. He and Jared Cook are the question.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Cook is in the low-end starting conversation. You know, he's got 9 targets the last 2 weeks. He scored in 2 of those games. The Chiefs have been absolutely miserable against tight ends basically since week 7 or 8. And so in a game where they're probably chasing points and throwing, I think Jared Cook has a chance if your tight end situation is somewhat shaky. Like I would start him over Hayden Hurst, for example. I'd start him over Noah Fant. I would start him over, trying to think of somebody else that's in that.
Would you start him over Dallas Goedert?
I would start him over Dallas Goedert in non-PPR, but not in PPR.
What about Evan Engram?
I would start him over Evan Engram without Daniel Jones.
Heath, you know, I know you're not quite as affected by matchups unless it's one of the real outliers, but Kansas City, they've given up 57 yards or a touchdown to 5 tight ends in their last 4 games. Good tight ends for the most part. Waller, Witten caught a touchdown. Gronk, Fant, Gesicki. So Cook, he's got a touchdown in 2 straight games. Are you feeling any momentum? I think you have him pretty low in the rankings.
I could fudge it and move him up to like 18th maybe. But this is just the kind of, and I think people have probably listened enough, know this, like Jared Cook scores once every 6 targets and no one else in football has ever done that. And I'm just not going to buy it. He's got 1 game or 2 games this season with more than 3 catches. And he has not been over 37 yards since week 5.
Right.
Okay. I don't want to do that.
Taysom Hill, I was nervous about, but I got a little bit more comfortable after previewing the game because the Chiefs are getting torched by quarterbacks lately. Their defense is really just not playing well. It's 27 or more fantasy points to four of the last five quarterbacks they've faced. And they've given up like the third most rushing touchdowns to quarterbacks. They've given up like five. What's that?
Like a big group of like teams that have given up six, five and six.
Yeah. There are four teams have given up six rushing touchdowns. Five teams have given up five. They're one of the five that have allowed five rushing touchdowns.
When I saw that first, I was like, oh, five must be a lot.
Me too. Yeah.
I went back and I'm like, oh, there's a lot of teams that have given up five.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's still top 10, right? Or 10 teams giving up that many, but not as great of a stat as I thought. But also, Hill's thrown 37 and 38 passes in his last two games, and you figure probably going to have to throw. Oh, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. What's your, like, Dobbins or Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Dobbins.
I have Clyde, I think, ranked higher right now, but I don't like that, so I'll probably switch it.
All right, and finally, Heath, New England at Miami. Who are you confidently starting in this game?
Can we just do that for the Dolphins?
We did do it for the Patriots, though.
Damian Harris is a good flex and a very, very borderline number two running back in non-PPR.
Okay. And all right. If Parker plays, Heath, are you starting Lynn Bowden over Devontae Parker?
No, they would both be in the mediocre wide receiver three range.
Okay. Jamie, you know what's not mediocre?
What's that?
My sweater. And all of the wonderful clothes that we have gotten and we've bought from Express. It's been a tremendous shopping spree and a big time upgrade to my wardrobe. I went outside the other day, which you know is rare, and I wore the jacket. I wouldn't call it a winter coat, more like a fall or early spring jacket. Really awesome, reversible jacket that I got from Express. That's great. This sweater. You've seen some of the other warm clothing I've gotten. I got socks on actually from Express right now. So I went to town and I love it. It's been great. You, Jamie, let us know. Well, how did you feel about your experience with Express?
Well, I wear all my Express clothes on HQ because I got all dressed.
Yeah, you got the
attire,
fancy stuff.
So
yeah.
I got fancy stuff. Yes. So I have several button down shirts and some jackets that I got from Express, which I love. And like I said, I wear them on HQ. I appreciate them for the clothes that they have. And I'm staring right now. I was waiting for you to say this, because once you purchase something from Express, then you get the deals that they continue to offer. It's funny that you mentioned the sweaters, because they're offering right now 60% off all sweaters. So that's a great deal, especially for, you know, those of you in the Northeast that are dealing with this fun weather. But Express is great, you know, and I am going to treat myself to some more clothes from Express and some more casual stuff, because I like their formal wear so much, which, like I said, I wear it mostly on our HQ programming. So I'll be wearing some of that today for our Perfect. Express show on CBS Sports HQ.
All right. So listen, we've all been really, really happy with what we've gotten, and it's a great time to be shopping for other people or for yourself right now. Holiday deals. Jamie mentioned the deals on the sweaters, and it's already a very affordable website to begin with. So go on express.com right now. Express you this holiday. Shop the best deals on new styles and gifts now in stores or online at express.com. And here we go into the games. Semifinals week. I'm going to start with Seattle and Washington. There are some...
Doesn't it seem funny to say that?
Yeah, it does. Well, because Seattle's in Washington. Is that why?
Right.
Yeah. But also because I wouldn't normally start with a Washington game. But, you know, you've got two defenses that are playing pretty well right now. Is it the competition? Is it the defense is just actually getting better? And I think you have some tough calls here. First of all, Russell Wilson. So on the East Coast, I don't usually count week one East Coast trips, do you? Like in terms of...
It depends. I mean...
yeah, I mean, they were at Atlanta.
Depends
week
how you
one.
Age your stat it this way.
Well,
do
you know...
Thursday East Coast games count?
No, it's just an easier travel.
So it's just 1 p.m. Eastern, East Coast games.
Not
correct? I'm making sure. 1 p.m. Eastern, East Coast games, not in week one, and not if they stayed on the East Coast the prior week.
I'm gonna side off on that. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Heath, you missed a brilliant.
I already told him. I already
he told me about
him.
It. It was a I really enjoyed it.
all right. Well, anyway, he hasn't been great in those games. I can't find the stats, but it was like 20, 25, 24 points. And then.
Oh, just go to Pro Football Reference. They've got their splits, and you just look for 1 p.m. Eastern yeah. games, not in week one when they didn't stay on the East Coast.
Okay. Week one, he torched Atlanta. But then at Miami, at Buffalo, at Philadelphia. The Philadelphia game was a Monday night game, for what that's worth. But at Miami, at Buffalo, not great. And Wilson, yeah.
Buffalo was great.
No, it was. It was like 25 points, wasn't he?
I mean, 392 and 2 in the rushing touchdown is pretty good.
Did he score more points than that? Or am I crazy?
He had 25 points.
Yeah, 25 points. Not very good. He threw a lot of interceptions in that game.
If you tell me right now my quarterback's going 392 and 2,
I'm going to tell you right now that they're not going to give up 44 points like they did in that game. So
I anyway, you should start Russell Wilson.
All right. Well, convince me, because he's only been really great against the Jets, and anybody can be great against the Jets. Before that, he'd been pretty disappointing four games in a row.
He's been great for over half of a decade. He has been one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy this season.
Uh-huh.
And you're starting Russell Wilson.
I'll tell you this. I have a choice that I'm going to struggle with if Keenan Allen plays, between Justin Herbert and Russell Wilson, because Justin Herbert's situation is 1,000 times better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you feel...
Drop Russell Wilson all the way down to number 6.
Do you feel like...
He has not been a great fantasy quarterback since week 9.
Yeah, but just looking at quarterback overall, Herbert slumping, Wilson, Murray, obviously. This week, I'm sure you're feeling incredibly great about Rodgers and Mahomes. And even Mahomes, like, at New Orleans, you know, maybe he won't have his amazing game, but whatever. Lamar Jackson, if the
narrator, he'll have an amazing game.
Probably. But he's been a little disappointing, actually, 3 of his last 4. After that, how many quarterbacks do you just feel incredibly great about this week? Is it just 3?
You said Lamar?
I said Lamar. Heath would say Josh Allen.
Yep.
I feel great about Josh Allen, yeah.
But he's only had one big game without John Brown.
I mean, one of those was in terrible weather on a Tuesday. You know, I mean, there's some circumstances with the John Brown games.
Okay. All right. But it's not like it used to be where there's like 7 or 8 quarterbacks where we just feel incredible about.
No, I have Russell Wilson in the league and I'm nervous about it because his defense is really good. He struggles when he's pressured and he hasn't been great lately.
All right. Okay. So I'm not crazy.
Like the one game where his attempts were up, he was awful. And it was the Giants because their defense is good.
We talked about Chris Carson. As of this morning, Carson was top 12 for Dave and Jamie and more like around 20th for Heath.
I think he's 17th now for me. And I think you're starting Chris Carson. I would start most of the rookies, not over him.
Not Edwards-Helaire.
Not Clyde, not Dobbins, but Taylor, Swift for now, Akers, Robinson.
Okay. And DK Metcalf, yes. And then Tyler Lockett. Jamie said he's got him as like a number 3. Heath, you're always a little bit more optimistic, I feel, about Lockett.
Yeah, I think so. And he's a guy, because of those monster weeks, who still projects as a borderline number 1. I dropped him down to a low end number 2. But if his floor, and his floor over the last 5 or 6 weeks has basically been 11 PPR points, if that's his floor, and the ceiling's the number 1 wide receiver of the week, I pretty much just have to start him.
Yeah, I think the one thing that we've seen since it's week, his last 8 games, he's got 2 games with a touchdown. Both of those were against Arizona. And in 4 of those 8, he's been 10 PPR points or less.
Yeah, he's got, I think, 67 or fewer yards in 9 of his last 10 games. It's been very frustrating. He does get a lot of catches, typically, a good amount. So let me give you this other stat. Stat of the game number 2. 9 running backs have had 30 or more receiving yards against Seattle. That's a lot. McKissick somehow was very uninvolved in the passing game last week. But who would you start in PPR, McKissick or Lockett?
If Alex Smith starts, I would start McKissick.
I'd probably go with Lockett. But McKissick's been very good in revenge games.
Has he?
This is another revenge game for him.
What were the other ones?
Against the Lions, I think he had like 18 PPR points.
All right. So just one?
I think that's the only one.
The thing that you want from McKissick is you want them trailing.
Yeah. This is a really interesting game. Okay. And, you know, he did get a lot of carries last week. He had 11 carries. So that's good. And all right, McKissick or Dobbins PPR.
I've got McKissick higher.
McKissick is probably safer. I have Dobbins ranked higher, but McKissick is safer.
I do have McKissick over Clyde in PPR as well.
I would agree with that.
Now and over Melvin Gordon, David Johnson, and James Conner.
Agree.
Okay, now the Seahawks are still giving up the third most fantasy points to wide receivers, but in their last five games, no touchdowns. Only one wide receiver's had more than 62 yards. I talked about this yesterday. That was Josh Reynolds. So McLaurin or Tyler Lockett?
McLaurin. He actually benefits, I think, if Haskins starts as opposed to Alex Smith.
Yeah, I've got them very, very close, but I do have Lockett higher.
First four games of the year with Haskins, McLaurin scored 11, 25, 12, and 21 fantasy points. Two great games. Logan Thomas, Jamie, starter sit.
You have to start him at this point. I mean, you know, it's six of his last eight games, 10 or more PPR points. He scored in four of those. You know, it's hard to get away from what he's been doing, given what the tight end position looks like.
And one thing I'll say is I was a little worried when I was looking at Haskins that it might be worse for him if Haskins play, because he has produced fantasy points better with Alex Smith, but his target share was actually higher with Dwayne Haskins. So I agree with Jamie. I'm starting him.
And Seattle is so bad at tight end against tight ends.
Yeah. Now you might see that they're 13th against tight ends, but in their last nine games, 53 to 75 yards to Irv Smith, Dan Arnold, Tyler Higbee, Richard Rodgers, Dallas Goedert. Ross Dwelly scored, Tyler Kroft scored, Arnold scored, Richard Rodgers scored, Goddard scored. I mean, they are awful against tight ends. All right, so Logan Thomas or Jared Cook. I know Heath's going to go Thomas. Jamie, how about you?
Thomas.
All right, Logan Thomas or Hunter Henry?
Thomas.
Thomas.
All right.
I start Thomas over Dallas Goedert.
That's the one. I've got him right behind Dallas Goedert, but he's still a top six tight end for me. I'd start him over Ebron, Evan Ingram, all those guys.
Seattle DST is 11th for Jamie, 15th for Dave, and 4th for Heath. Pretty different there. And three really great games in a row. You know, I'm sure every podcast and publication told you to pick them up weeks ago, but if you did, they've been great at the Eagles, Giants, Jets. And Heath, you see another big game coming for the Seahawks?
Yeah, and I don't think it probably matters who plays at quarterback. I think that they are going to score some fantasy points.
Cool. Pittsburgh's at Cincinnati, and another game. It's like, why are we doing the second? Because you know, Cincinnati, you can get away from everyone, but Pittsburgh, I really want to hear how you guys see this game unfolding. Roethlisberger has not been very good in his last four games. His last four games, he's at 5.03 yards per attempt. He has one completion of longer than 31 yards, and he hasn't had a good game since he destroyed Cincinnati. 37 fantasy points 5 weeks ago against Cincinnati. So does he throw enough, Jamie? Does it matter? Does he do well enough? Does the offense get fixed this week against the Bengals?
Fixed to the level of, I think, where they're comfortable with it? Probably not. Fixed to the level where I think fantasy managers can buy back in? I think that they will. He dropped the Aaron Rodgers relax on the media yesterday when he was clarifying his "I'll hang it up if I'm not playing well" statement after the game on Sunday. And I think that's going to be a bounce back Big Ben performance. So I would not be surprised if he has a huge game. I certainly understand if fantasy managers want to get away from him. It makes total sense if you have a capable quarterback. I'm in a scenario where I'm debating Ben Roethlisberger and Jalen Hurts. That's how I feel about Ben. But I do think that this is a blow up type of spot because it's a primetime game. Everybody's looking at them as they've just lost two games after starting off perfect. He looks like an old quarterback. It's the typical Ben Roethlisberger setup where he sets up the trap for you. And so it would not shock me with how this run game has been struggling with James Conner at less than 100% that they have to throw the ball, like what happened in the Bengals game when they couldn't run on them that time. So I do think that you're going to get a potential, like this, it wouldn't shock me at all if it's like 403 from Roethlisberger, like that type of game for him.
And Heath, what would that mean for the, how do you see it? And what do you think about the wide receivers?
I am scared of Ben Roethlisberger in both directions. I am scared of sitting him. I'm scared of starting him. So he kind of almost feels like the Tyler Lockett of quarterbacks this week. He's a borderline top 12 guy for me. I think the upside that Jamie talked about absolutely exists and the floor is pretty low. I'm going to start Deontay Johnson in full PPR. I'm going to start probably Juju too. I don't have any faith in Chase Claypool or James Washington, really. I do think Ebron is a very solid starting tight end because of what this position is. I was just looking. It's not really. I was wondering if the road bin thing has not really been a thing this year. So, I mean, he does have some terrible passing games on the road, but he has some great games as well.
Yeah, I think one thing you can be encouraged by, if you're, well, they're going to blow him out, he's not going to have to throw. They don't operate like that. They just throw. They've had three big, big wins this year. One was early in the year. He only threw 22 passes against Cleveland. But when they won 36-10 against Cincinnati, he threw 46 times. When they won 27-3 at Jacksonville, he threw 46 times. So what are you going to say, Heath?
Well, I was going to ask Jamie, because, and this is just my recollection, but it seems like over the last week, week and a half, we've heard several people, national reporters, talk about how the Steelers aren't intending to throw that much and Ben's just going to passing plays instead. Like, they're not calling that many passing plays.
They can't run the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it sounds like everybody besides Ben wants to.
I mean, I'm sure that they do want to. They need to have more balance on offense. You know, they've been to the playoffs enough time. Mike Tomlin knows they're not going to win throwing the ball 47 times in the playoffs, trying to be at a shootout with the Chiefs when they get to there. If they do, they see what the Browns are doing. They saw what the Titans did last year. They're smart enough to know that they can't put their defense on the field as much as they have been, especially with the injuries that they have. But I also think, like, to your question, Heath, they need to fix their passing game too. And, you know, this is if things go, I think, the way that they would hope, which the point spread kind of indicates, that this can almost be like a scrimmage for them and work on some things if they're able to. And so I think Roethlisberger, he may not be 45 plus pass attempts, but in 30 to 35 against this defense, he could still have a big enough game.
All right. So before I get to the running backs here, let me just do some starts and sits. Ben Roethlisberger or Taysom Hill?
Hill.
Taysom.
Tannehill.
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 Streamer guys, Trubisky, Hurts. I'll even throw Philip Rivers on there.
I have Ben ahead of all of them as of now.
I currently have Trubisky ahead of Ben, but they're right in the same range.
Okie dokie. And are you going to trust any Steelers running back in this game? The Bengals give up the 7th most fantasy points to running backs, 4.91 yards per carry. We know they're not good. Their defense actually played a little bit better lately, I will say that, as the competition has gotten a lot easier. But are you going to trust the Steelers running back?
I would trust, and this sounds weird to say, but I would trust Benny Snell if James Conner is out as a low-end number two in non-PPR and a flex option in PPR. At this point, more so than I would trust James Conner, because clearly he's not 100% and is not running well, and they're moving guys in and out. So, you know, the two-game sample size that we have of Benny Snell as the starter, one was really good against Baltimore on Wednesday. He had over 90 total yards. And one was terrible against what is a good Washington defense. This is not a good defense. They just put Geno Atkins on IR. And so it's a spot for him to have some success, but to what level, I just couldn't tell you.
Okay. And
by the way, do you see what Juju Smith-Schuster's on pace for?
No.
He's on pace for 97 catches. And
can I guess? And 813 yards.
You're very close. 806 yards.
My goodness. So who do you like better, Juju or Deontay?
Deontay.
I like Juju better in non-PPR, Deontay better in PPR. You just have to, again, wonder if he drops any passes, does he get benched once again? Juju, it's funny because, you know, Juju doesn't feel like he's having a very good season, but he scored 13 or more PPR points, 6 of his last 8 games. Like, you know, he's been pretty consistent.
I mean, let's find out where he ranks in PPR for the season. But would you start Deontay or Juju over Terry McLaurin?
I'd start Deontay over McLaurin in PPR.
Yeah, I wouldn't start any Steelers over McLaurin in non-PPR, I don't believe.
He is wide receiver 26, tied with Corey Davis. That is season long. Let's see, per game, he's not going to be that high. 36, wide receiver 30.
Right, the problem is like his floor has been pretty good. His ceiling just has not been very high for Juju.
Yeah. All righty, Eric Ebron is a start. You guys have him 7th in PPR. And Dave's a little bit lower on him in non-PPR. He did not have a good game last week, but he's been pretty reliable. So start Eric Ebron and sit all Bengals?
Yes.
Okie dokie. Would you start...
No.
Would you start Nelson Agholor over your favorite Bengals wide receiver?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Houston's at Indianapolis. Your updated stat of the game. Before last week, it was all but one game. Now it's all but two games in which at least two Texans pass catchers have had 95 yards or a touchdown. Every game except for two. The wind game at Cleveland and last week when they didn't have Cooks or Fuller. And the Colts, meanwhile, they've allowed 70 yards or a touchdown to 13 wide receivers in their last 10 games. They've allowed 98 or more yards to five wide receivers in their last four games. And if A.J. Brown didn't drop a long touchdown, that would be even worse. So your confidence level in the pass catchers for Houston, and who specifically, Heath?
I don't know that I have. We still don't have Brandon Cooks ranked, correct, Jamie?
No, I'm going to check. I don't think he practiced in full.
That's what I thought. If Cooks gets a full practice in, then he will probably be right around wide receiver 20 for me. I'll probably feel decent about starting him as a number two wide receiver. If he remains limited all week, then he's going to be more of a number three. Keke Coutee and Chad Hansen are both mid-range number threes without Cooks and borderline number threes with Cooks.
He practiced in a limited fashion on Wednesday.
All right, start or sit Deshaun Watson?
Start.
He's a borderline starter for me without Cooks, but with Cooks, he'd be a mid-range start.
Yeah, I think, you know, you got to go back to what he did against the Colts two games ago. He was a fumbled snap away of a potential touchdown, which would have put him over 20 fantasy points. I still think his ceiling is good enough that you should trust it. But you've seen the floor the last couple of games without Will Fuller. It hasn't been great.
18 points and 17 points. And the Colts allow the fourth fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. So you like him better than Roethlisberger? Certainly with Cooks, but without Cooks, would you like him better than Roethlisberger?
I currently have him ranked ahead of Roethlisberger.
All right. I do too. Yeah, I'm starting him over Roethlisberger.
The rushing for him is always going to keep him in play. You know, I think that's kind of been the reason why he's been at the 17 and 18 point range the last 2 weeks. He had the rushing touchdown, I think it was 2 weeks ago or last week.
Last week. No, you're right. It was 2 weeks ago. Last week he threw the touchdown to QT.
Right. So I just like with teams like this, and especially, you know, he's clearly this is a separate conversation, which is going to be like one of the more coveted jobs around the league. Like you walk into the Houston job and you know you have that. In him, you know, he's so good.
He's a man.
Is that like a better situation than to going to the Chargers when their job eventually opens and you have that quarterback too? Or the Jaguars where you have a fresh, blank slate with all those picks and a rookie quarterback.
But, I don't want to get too sidetracked here.
But in any event, he's keeping them afloat by himself and you're seeing it.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about this. In a let's say a half PPR league, rank the following four players: David Johnson, Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, T.Y. Hilton. Half PPR league, the three running backs and T.Y. Hilton. How would you rank them? Jamie, you can go first.
I don't love David Johnson this week, so Taylor is by far and away the best. And then I probably would go with still Johnson over Hines in non-PPR, in half PPR.
Wait, but what about PPR Hilton? Team. You're definitely going Hilton over Johnson, right?
I'm sorry. Taylor, Hilton, Johnson, Hines.
Okay. Heath?
Taylor, Hilton, Hines, Johnson.
Yeah, Johnson. I mean, look, he scores all the time, but his yards are so tough to come by. He's been pretty bad in tough matchups. You trying to get away from him this week?
He's not in my top 24 running backs, but he's just outside.
Probably exaggerated. He doesn't score all the time. He scores a lot. And okay, so that would basically be Houston. Jordan Akins is a sit, right?
Yeah. Jordan Akins is a sit, yeah.
Okay. Starter sit, Phillip Rivers, Heath.
I really don't want to. I would start Ben Roethlisberger over him. I would certainly start Deshaun Watson over him. I would start Mitchell Trubisky over him. I would start Jalen Hurts over him.
Why, though? But I mean, he's got 21 or more points in four straight games. That's pretty good. That's low-end starter. Oh, John Brown is out, by the way, we just saw. John Brown ruled out. Go ahead.
21 points is a number two quarterback. And most of the time, that he's been right around 21 points.
Yeah. Is it the number two quarterback? I mean, I feel like you come close. All right. It's like right around 12, right? You got to figure. Yeah, but okay. All right. But do you think he's got a lot of potential in this game, or just going to run the ball all the time? Or
I think they're going to run the ball more than they pass it. I think he'll, like, I don't think he's going to be a bad start. I just prefer those guys. I would expect he'll be right in that 20-point range where he's been for most of the season.
Okay.
And you got to hope that the Texans offense shows up for Phillip Rivers.
We love Jonathan Taylor. He's a must start. He's top 10. As far as Nyheim Hines goes, this team has given up 28 or more receiving yards, Houston has, to a running back in 9 straight games. 9 straight. So that's wild. 8 of those had 35 or more receiving yards. I think it was it Jonathan Taylor, though, last time that had the receiving totals? Yeah, Hines had 22 yards, and Hines and Taylor had 44 yards and a touchdown receiving. But Hines, you know, he's not a bad flex in PPR. And then T.Y. Hilton's a must start. He is top 18. Heath's the low guy. It has him 18, so that tells you everything you need to know. Michael Pittman.
Do you see his history against the Texans?
I mean, you guys talk about it all the time. I don't know the numbers.
This is amazing. So he's played them 17 times in his career. Basically a full season. Guess the catches in those 17 games.
He's not a huge catch guy, but I'll say 95.
Heath?
Oh, 17. I'll say 102.
You're close. Well, you're close. 98.
Oh, all right.
The yards in those 17 games. Heath, what's the yards?
In 17 games, I would guess he's at 1,750 yards.
Wow. I will guess 1,580.
1,732.
Oh, my goodness.
And the touchdown? And
the amazing thing is he has a couple of games with 13, less than 20 yards.
13 touchdowns.
12.
11.
Damn it.
98, 17, 32, and 11 touchdowns in 17 games against them. It's ridiculous.
Colts DST's top 7. Let's go to our next game. Buffalo at Denver. John Brown is out. Why are you so confident in Josh Allen without John Brown? 5 games without Brown. He scored 16 to 21 fantasy points in 4 of 5 games. He did have a huge game at
San Francisco.
We
were just talking about 21's good.
16 to 21. For Phillip Rivers, it's 21 or more. For Josh Allen, it's 19, 16, 17, 38, and 21 in 5 games without John Brown. Yeah. Anyway, why are you so confident? Y'all got him top 5. Heath has him 2nd or 3rd.
Yeah, I would just agree with Jamie that there were some circumstances in those John Brown games. I don't think John Brown has been the reason that Josh Allen has been a top 5 fantasy quarterback this season, and I don't see any thing in this matchup to not rank him top 5.
I mean, and you just saw, what was it, 2 games ago? Without John Brown, he had a
bowl
game.
That was his one big game at San Francisco.
And then he played well against Pittsburgh, and Gabriel Davis is a touchdown 3 straight games. I mean, you know, they're getting production from other guys.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I feel like the touchdowns are kind of what's missing. Like, he had the game against the Jets. He threw for over 300 yards, just couldn't get the touchdowns. Maybe he just doesn't get as many big plays. I don't know.
Like, who are you starting Josh? Who are you benching Josh Allen for?
Yeah, nobody. Because right, I don't feel comfortable, you know, about many quarterbacks.
There's 3 quarterbacks right now in the NFL that have separated themselves. And I think Russell Wilson's just kind of fallen off this a little bit. But it's Mahomes, Rodgers, and Allen, just based on how they're playing as quarterbacks.
I feel pretty good about Tom Brady this week.
Oh, I'm not saying you shouldn't.
I would have a trouble deciding between him and Josh Allen. I would start Allen because you all have Allen ranked higher. And when all 3 of you have Allen ranked higher, I go with you. But it wouldn't shock me if Brady was better at Atlanta. All right. Well, anyway, that game is tomorrow. Sit the Buffalo running backs. It's a great matchup.
They're flexes. I prefer Moss just based on the fact that he got more carries last week after getting benched the week before. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. They've been so up and down. Moss, I think, has 2 games this season with double digits in carries. He's been good in one of them. This could be a double digit carry game.
All right, Heath, Cole Beasley. We're obviously going to start Stephon Diggs. Cole Beasley, I mean, this guy is really annoying. He's got like 4 100-yard games, and he's got 4 games with like fewer than 30 yards or something. I don't know. 41, whatever it is. He's very hit or miss.
He has been less annoying when John Brown doesn't play. He's been super duper annoying when John Brown has played.
So I think there's enough targets there. And if you think Josh Allen's going to have a good day, yes, it could be Gabriel Davis, but I feel pretty good about starting Cole Beasley.
So that's what I thought. He has double-digit targets in 3 of 5 games, but here are his yards without John Brown. 53, 112, 25, 130, and 41. And he only has one touchdown. I mean, I almost feel like I got this wrong, but he's actually been pretty bad 3 of 5 games without John Brown.
I kind of feel like you got it wrong too.
I don't know.
I'm going to look.
Yeah, please do, because it didn't feel right. But let's talk about Beasley Orrs. Beasley or Nyheim Hines?
Beasley.
Beasley or Leonard Fournette if Ronald Jones is out?
Beasley.
Beasley.
Beasley or McKissick?
McKissick.
Okay, so I think, yeah, I'd go McKissick in full. Yeah, I'd go McKissick.
All right, did I get this right?
Well, the tricky thing with John Brown is he's had also 2 games where he left and did not produce any stats. He didn't catch any passes or any yards or any touchdowns. And so in both of those games, Cole Beasley was also good.
Okay.
All right. In the games that Brown has not fully put, like, yes, you were not wrong.
I mean, the thing you got to sign up for with Beasley is he's got 10 or more targets in 3 of his last 4 games. Like, that gives you the opportunity to be good.
All right, we go over to the Broncos. Are you starting anyone confidently on Denver?
No. Patrick is the closest, but not confidently.
I don't have any confidence, no.
Okay. What the hell? What is happening that my phone keeps falling on the floor? I don't understand. It was just,
every time you make a point, you spike it like a moron. Stop spiking your phone.
Jeez, man. This is going to be the second phone I break in the last week. Oh, all right. Sorry.
Recover your pictures?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. 2 years, photos and videos gone. Awful. Anyway, Noah Fant, Heath, you always seem high on Noah Fant.
No, I can't. But at the same time, and this, like, just to be clear, I would start Noah Fant over Jared Cook.
And we'll reassess the running back situation if one of them is out, because it could be a good situation if that's the case. Detroit at Tennessee. Let's talk about Detroit at Tennessee here, guys. You're not going to sit TJ Hockenson, but if you want to be even more excited, TJ Hockenson has 7 or more targets in 6 of his last 7 games. And there have been 6 tight ends against the Titans that have had 6 to 8 targets. All of them had 50 yards or a touchdown. Hockenson's going to have a good game. The other stat I had was that, you know, Tannehill just has, he's in the 3 games he's played where they've won by more than 1 score, he's thrown 28, 22, and 24 passes. They've all been massive blowouts. That's kind of the issue with the stat. And Corey Davis hasn't been very good in those games. So that's, I guess, kind of what I'm concerned about here is the faith you have in, everybody's going to start A.J. Brown, but Tannehill and Corey Davis with the game script potentially getting away from them with obviously Derrick Henry against the best matchup set up for a big game. Heath, what do you think about Tannehill and Corey Davis?
I think, like, as good as Ryan Tannehill's been basically for almost a year and a half now, yes, there's some concern about the game script, but we've also seen games like when they earlier in the year he threw 24 passes and 4 of them were touchdowns. Some of these monster Derrick Henry games, he also has wild efficiency and is still very good. So I think you should just treat Ryan Tannehill as if he's a starting quarterback, unless there's a circumstance that really, really causes you to question that. So I'm starting him, and Corey Davis has had a couple of bad games, and one of them was his most recent game, and so that makes you worried about him. But he's also had a floor of 10 PPR points in like 90% of his games this year, and he's shown us 25-point upside on multiple occasions. I'm just going to start him as a number 2 wide receiver.
This stat is ridiculous from what the Lions have allowed to receivers in their last 5 weeks. Do you know it?
No.
92 catches, 1,203 yards, and 5 touchdowns on 115 targets to Carolina, Houston, Chicago, and Green Bay.
They're bad.
8 receivers have scored at least 13 PPR points in those 5 games.
Yeah. No, they are bad. But the only the times that Corey Davis has let us down, basically, have been the times where Tannehill hasn't have to throw, had to throw. Not exclusively.
I think what we saw that's been what we saw last week was, and they're typically pretty good at this when things are going right for them, is they will throw to score early enough, like we saw the flea flicker last week, and then just run to win. And so the thing you want to hope for is obviously the Detroit offense to show up to make them have to throw a little bit more. But clearly you want to see them be a little bit aggressive throwing early in the game. And like Keith said, you know, he could throw 20 times and get 4 touchdowns. He's just that type of quarterback. So His floor has typically been 20 fantasy points. I think you buy into that for Tannehill and then hope the receivers are the ones that are catching those passes. So I think you just start them.
And stat of the game number 3, the Lions, yeah, they're bad against everything. They've given up 66 yards or a touchdown to a tight end in 6 of their last 7 games. And the only exception is Jordan Akins, and he dropped 2 touchdowns. So is there any interest in any Titans tight end?
I think they just become too much of a group.
Yep.
Okay. So let's go to Detroit, Heath. And I'm assuming Chase Daniel is going to start. It doesn't look good for Stafford. So how much do you trust DeAndre Swift in these circumstances? It sounds like you have him pretty high.
Well, I think, and the Ragnow thing does, like, would change some things. But it's a terrible defense they're facing, and Chase Daniel has thrown about a third of his passes to running backs over his career. He was Alex Smith light, backing him up. He learned under Drew Brees. He's going to dump the ball off quickly. I think DeAndre Swift will be good. I've got him as a number 2 running back, right around 16 or 17, and I'm starting him. I'm starting Hockenson, but I don't have much confidence in any other Lions.
Cool. And then how about DeAndre Swift? DeAndre Swift. I could get a good wide receiver here to compare him to. You going to start him over Tyler Lockett?
Yeah.
How about DeAndre Swift or T.Y. Hilton?
T.Y.
I would go Swift and non-PPR, Hilton and PPR.
This week, he should change his name to T.R. for track record.
Juju Smith-Schuster or DeAndre Swift?
Swift.
Swift.
I think that's pretty much it for this game. Tennessee's DST is an okay option. They're not good, but they're, you know, top like 15, basically. All right, we got 3 games left of the 3 games we already talked about earlier in the show. Jacksonville-Baltimore will be the first one. We're going to take a quick break, real quick break, and we'll be back in about 30 seconds to wrap up this slate of games. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. Jacksonville's at Baltimore. Let's see if there's anything we haven't covered here. I mean, we've talked so much about... Honestly, I don't want to be too repetitive. So anything you guys would like to add in this game? You want to talk about James Robinson? People are a little nervous about the matchup. The Ravens have actually been kind of crummy against running backs the last couple weeks. And on the season, they're 22nd against running backs. Jamie, your level of confidence in James Robinson?
You're starting James Robinson. I mean, it just comes down to, you know, if you have some guys that are in that same range that you think you might want to start over. Like, one I'm struggling with, to be honest with you, is Josh Jacobs, because I do think that he could play well tonight against the Chargers. But I'm still going to start Robinson as of now. He's been dealing with this knee injury for whatever it's worth. Keeps showing up on the injury report. You do have some shuffling or running around with the offensive line. And I do think that this is a get-right game for the Ravens defense. So there are some things at play with James Robinson, but he's just been so good. He's so involved in the passing game. He's so involved in everything. I mean, he's really their entire offense. So it's hard to get away from. You just have to make sure that you feel comfortable enough to bench him. I don't think most people should do that, though.
Okay, and if you want to look at him in previous tough matchups, if you think this is a tough matchup, in my opinion, there have been 3. The Colts, the Steelers, and the Browns. Against the Colts, he had 90 total yards, did not score. That was his first game. Against the Steelers, he had 94 total yards, did not score. And against the Browns, he had an enormous game. He had like 159 total yards and a touchdown and 5 catches. He also averaged something like 4 catches per game with Gardner Minshew. So 27 catches in 7 games. All right. set our piece. I think we should probably do some comparisons. Heath, would you go Josh Jacobs or James Robinson?
Robinson. I've got Robinson as a top 10 running back. I'm starting him.
And you are the low guy on him. Top 10. Okay. All right. I won't even ask anymore. Start him. And I'm not going to start anyone else on Jacksonville. We love Lamar Jackson as of now. He's top 4. He might move down a little bit. He will move down a little bit if Marquise Brown is out. We like J.K. Dobbins. Jamie likes him more than Heath. Jamie's got him as the start of the week. If Marquise Brown plays, you're talking about a guy who has a touchdown in 3 straight games. You're talking about Jacksonville. They're 26th against wide receivers. Where are you going to rank Marquise Brown, Heath?
Number 3 wide receiver with big time upside, but he wouldn't quite get into my top 30 in any format.
Jamie?
I had him, I think, like right around 25, 26 in non-PPR and closer to 30 to 33, I think, maybe 33 in PPR. I'd have a very tough time with him in non-PPR with Tyler Lockett, you know, just based on what matchup is and what you've seen recently from those two guys.
If he's out, who's a better streamer, Willie Snead or Lynn Bowden? Assuming
Or another team.
What?
Someone from another team.
Someone else?
Yeah, it's so hit or miss. Willie Snead probably be the best one, but I don't know how many people want to start Willie Snead.
All righty. Start Mark Andrews. Well, no, but I asked you Snead or Lynn Bowden. I don't know if you heard that.
Bowden.
Okay. Start Mark Andrews, start the Ravens, DST. Kansas City at New Orleans. Patrick Mahomes is top 2, and he's Mahomes. Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Lynn Bowden?
Clyde.
Clyde.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Gallman?
Gallman.
Clyde.
All right, one more. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Let's do a wide receiver. Kiki Cutie.
Clyde.
Clyde.
One more. Aguilar.
Clyde in non-PPR, Aguilar in PPR.
Man, Clyde could be terrible. Right? He could be terrible this week.
Well, you're comparing him to Nelson Aguilar.
I was pivoting. I was saying separately, he could be terrible.
Like, yeah, this is one of those things where... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying I agree.
Oh, this is one of those things where you can fall into a trap with Clyde because I think they're going to win on the road. I think they're going to be able to kind of do what they want to offensively, but this Saints defense is still so good against the run. Like, you can't buy what happened last week as the indication of what the run defense is.
Right. Okay, and then Tyreek Hill, Michael Thomas, any other wide receivers you're interested in?
No.
No.
Let's see how the Saints can do against tight ends. They've gotten a lot better against tight ends. In their last 10 games, only 2 tight ends have more than 31 yards. And I think only 2 have caught a touchdown. So we'll see how they hold up against the best of the best. Taysom Hill. So he's top 10. And Jamie, like, what do you expect from Taysom Hill this week?
23 to 25 fantasy points, 33-plus rushing yards, and 1 passing touchdown, 1 rushing touchdown, 1 interception.
This is our last Lowe's home team watch party of the year. Come hang out with us on Twitch. We're watching the game, 4 p.m. Eastern, and we'll be talking about it. We've got interviews lined up, and this is the most excited I've been for a home team watch party. So can't wait to watch this game and break it down. Alvin Kamara, any hesitation at all? I mean, look, he had 7 catches last week, but he had 3 in the 3 previous games with Taysom Hill combined. So,
but what was the difference in that game?
Just what was it? Pass attempts?
Chasing points.
Yeah, I guess so. So you're confident in the... Because 2 weeks ago at Atlanta, Taysom Hill threw 37 times, I think, and he only had 2 catches, Kamara. Still feeling great about him or what?
Yeah. You're seeing what I would hope is the evolution of Taysom Hill as he's, you know, he's throwing the ball a little bit better, a little bit more, you know, successfully to the guys that matter. I mean, you know, it's been kind of consistent with Michael Thomas, but, you know, you go back the last 2 weeks with Jared Cook, there's been a little bit more... you know, production, and then Alvin Kamara last week, again, chasing points. I think you buy into that. And so I don't know if you mentioned this, Adam, but Adam Schefter reporting that don't expect Drew Brees this week. Sean Payton kind of indicated that. So looks pretty safe for Taysom Hill.
And we're going to get a lot of tough questions about Michael Thomas because it's that kind of, that's that time of year. We got great teams remaining in fantasy. So he's not like a top five guy. He is, you know, he is a, certainly a must start. He's top 12 in PPR. He's top 15 in non PPR. But, you know, Jonathan Taylor, how many rookie running backs would you start over Michael Thomas in full PPR?
Full?
Yeah.
Just Taylor.
Not Akers?
Akers and Taylor for me.
Yeah, I think I'd still go with Thomas.
Okay.
Half, I mean, as PPR. Great as Akers was last week, he had two catches. I just don't see him being heavily involved in the passing game in a game they're blowing out their opponent. Whereas Thomas could, this could be a 10-catch game for Michael Thomas.
Yeah, oh God, I can't wait.
Tough matchup.
I cannot deal with this. How do they give up?
I know
up?
How much it frustrates you.
They give up the second fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. I just don't understand. They've given up 97 yards or a touchdown to five wide receivers in their last five games. And that does not even include Lynn Bowden, because in our database, he had 82 yards. Their stats don't even include him. I don't know. I don't get it.
I want to be clear. I'm not downgrading Michael Thomas because of the Chiefs matchup. I just said that to frustrate you.
You did a great job. That's one of the most frustrating things when I look at the matchups. All right, then. New England at Miami.
Next.
Which DST do you like better?
Dolphins, but it's close.
In all seriousness, if you go back to the start-o-meter or confidence-o-meter segment, we talked about this game more extensively. We talked about all the relative pieces. I guess I'll just ask you, if Devontae Parker plays, would you start Devontae Parker or Corey Davis?
Davis.
Devontae Parker or Kiki QT?
Is Brandon Cooks playing?
Yes.
Parker.
I might start QT anyway. I he's going to be less than 100%. He's dealing. The thing you got to factor in is Belichick and what he does against rookie quarterbacks. I mean, he turned Justin Herbert upside down a few weeks ago. He's 21-5 in his career as a coach against rookie quarterbacks. It's just absolutely amazing. Now, he doesn't have the same level of defense. And obviously, Brian Flores and that coaching staff knows what they're going to try and do because Flores was part of that. But I think Tua without Gesicki, with Parker less than 100%, this could be an ugly game for the Dolphins offensively. You have so many moving parts in the running back situation. I think Lynn Bowden, and you know, I don't think we talked enough about Mac Hollins if there is no Devontae Parker as a desperation play, because he had 9 targets last week also, and you know, just maybe fed targets by default. But there's just not a lot to like about the Dolphins situation. Like, Lynn Bowden can either be somebody who is like, oh wow, that guy has a chance, that guy was really good, I'm glad I played him, or he's a converted running back playing wide receiver, and is he really that good that I should trust him?
Right.
Even though he's got 11 targets last, or 13 targets last 2 weeks.
Right. Okay. Well, look, I think on the mailbag show, when we have more practice information, we'll have the Friday practice report. We'll be able to talk more about Lynn Bowden because we'll have a lot of Lynn Bowden questions.
Correct.
So we'll talk to you Thursday. It was like your Friday, and we'll have the mailbag show that airs on Saturday. But I want to thank Heath and Jamie and Ben Schrager. I'm Adam Azer, and we will talk to you tomorrow. And make sure you're watching CBS Sports HQ, and we'll see you on Twitch today at 4 o'clock.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.